going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There were three very encouraging things about the way they won game three.
Yes.
Number one, the aggressiveness, the urgency from Karl Anthony Towns.
Yes, because he was coached to do so.
Or he heard the criticism.
Or Jalen Brunson said, hey, bro, get your head out your butt.
Well,
let's
look,
go.
That's the other thing. And I know that Jalen was taking a lot of heat after game two, where he was facing a lot of criticism for not sharing the basketball enough, where at times that may have been true, though I thought in the final 4 minutes, I thought he set his teammates up well, the Josh Hart dunk, open threes from Mikal Bridges. But Jalen Brunson was a facilitator in game three, and there's no question. He put his teammates in great position to succeed, so he deserves a lot of credit. But I thought Towns, and you could see it from jump, and you could even see it in that aggressiveness early in the game when you had the pushing and the shoving and the chippiness, if you will, that Cat was on a mission. Now, whether it's listening to sports talk radio or social media or maybe just talking to his family,
right,
Cat knew, well, I got to be aggressive because if I'm aggressive, they can't stop me.
Right.
And that's true.
They can't stop me, and especially if I'm shooting well from downtown, which he did. He shot 50%. I said he'd make 6 of 8. He made 4 of 8, but it doesn't matter. Right, he did what he did best, and it also allowed him to be more aggressive. But again, some of this to me is coaching, and it's why when I look at what the game plan was in game two versus what it was in game three, it was clear, right, that the pick and rolls were happening with Brunson and Cat and not Brunson and Josh. And so it made, I think, an enormous difference on Cat's ability to be aggressive. And so give him credit, obviously, but he was also put in the better spot by Tibbs, and maybe more importantly, as you mentioned, Evan, by Jalen Brunson, who was phenomenal, right? He wasn't the I'm going to go do it myself guy. He was the I'm going to facilitate a lot of this. And it's why all those guys, I mean, all of them basically, except for Josh, were in double digits.
I think Josh is a little bit lost. He loses his confidence sometimes offensively, and I think, unfortunately, we're in that mix where he has.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, I think also he trusted his teammates more because his teammates actually played well. His teammates actually performed. But the other thing that I thought was really impressive, which is why as I sit here today with you on a Friday afternoon, I feel very confident about something I said a week ago. I said the Knicks will lose a game at the Garden early, and then they'll win in five. I feel very strongly about that after what happened yesterday because they also answered every punch in the face they took.
Yeah.
Early in this game, it was about 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. Pistons are up by 5 or 6. You could feel the momentum changing. And the New York Knicks responded. And they went on a monster run to where they had a double-digit lead going into the half. And to give Detroit credit, they would counter it at every turn. And then the Knicks would respond at every turn. And I think back to this game. We'll get to the last moment of this game, which was almost embarrassing for the NBA. But there's one image I have. And I don't even know if I give anybody credit. It was just one of those circumstances that happened. But the Pistons pull within three with less than 2 minutes to go, and Jalen Brunson misses about a 10-footer. Mm-hmm. And now the Pistons are in transition, and Cade Cunningham shakes off OG Anunoby, in which he made OG look like me trying to defend. And Cade Cade Cunningham is about to make a highlight reel layup to pull the Pistons within one, and he just flat-out lost the basketball.
Yeah.
Just flat-out lost it. And that was the game.
Yeah.
Because from that moment on, Jalen made a layup. Hardaway, who struggled in the second half, missed a three. Cat got fouled, made his free throws. Brunson got fouled, made his free throws. And they took the air out of it, and they were able to hold on and win. But I thought it was impressive that the Knicks countered every punch that they took last night. And they showed some fightness. They showed some, dogness last night.
Yeah, they did. And it was also on the defensive side. You're talking about responding offensively. Defensively, I mean, hell, even Jalen Brunson stayed in front of Cade Cunningham on one of those possessions late in the game. Mikal Bridges had a causing up and down on Cade Cunningham. So those guys.
Good defense, yep.
The defense was as the best I've seen it in the series so far, at least consistency throughout. And it's ultimately why, you know, the Pistons, despite storming back, because there was a point when they were up 11. They just clipped 100, the Knicks did. And I said, this is gonna be my prediction. They're going to win by 20-something. But they hung around and ultimately became a tight game. But give credit to both sides of the offense and the defense for the Knicks.
Now, look at the last 5 seconds of this game, because there is also one play that I don't think enough people are talking about, and that is the fact that after Brunson got fouled with about 2.5 seconds to go and he split the free throws to get it within four, and actually, it was the possession right after that, or before that, where I thought Jalen Brunson committed a backcourt violation.
Yeah, they explained that. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it, but it looked like
Did you hear the explanation, though?
Which was what again?
So the explanation, because they were asked, he was asked about this, and they brought up
which
the
broadcast
rule.
Were you watching, by the way? Because that's
This was after the fact. This was
Gotcha.
This was post game. So gotcha. I forget the rule now, but it was 4.6 something or whatever, whatever it was. But the things that you keep seeing on social media is a still shot of him touching the ball in the backcourt.
Right. And then he proceeds. Yes.
Right. But the rule is possession in the backcourt. And he didn't have possession in the backcourt.
So you have to have full possession.
Yes. It's possession, not touching. And so I forgot who answered the question afterwards, but they were ready for the criticism that they were going to get. And they gave, he didn't have possession in the backcourt. Yes, he was touching it, but it wasn't full control. And therefore, it wasn't a violation. It was called correctly.
To give you a cross-sport reference, you know what that sort of reminds me of? An NFL rule. And I remember Eli was involved in one many years ago where if you cross the line of scrimmage you threw the football, the rule is your entire body needs to be in front of the line.
Right, so even if it's your pinky toe.
Yes, then it doesn't get. What was that game, Sean? You got to remember. It was a giant game on a Sunday night.
I remember that, too.
But I believe it was an Eagle game in Philly, yeah.
Was
it?
Okay.
And it was Tom Coughlin who knew to challenge in that spot. And we had no idea at the time what the hell we were looking at.
Right.
Right. Because that's how we all found out about it.
The ball is so far over.
Yeah.
This has to be a legal forward pass.
Your pinky toe is behind the line of scrimmage, counts as a forward pass.
Yeah. So in the case of Jalen, he needs to have full possession in the front court and then go to the back court for it to be a violation. And he didn't have the full control until he was in the back court, which means no violation.
That's the explanation that was given. And it sounds right. But they had a specific rule. I forget which one it was. You can look it up. But they were ready for that criticism that was clearly going to come their way.
Now, the other criticism that they faced is that when Brunson goes to the line with a 1-point lead and 0.5 seconds to go and the Pistons have no timeouts, first of all, before we get to how the league screwed up, let's talk about what should have happened.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Jalen Brunson should make both free throws. And the reason I say that is because the Pistons don't have a timeout. If I make both free throws, and now I'm forcing Detroit to have to basically heave it in,
inbound,
and then very quickly, someone has
to shoot. Right.
The worst case scenario is overtime, and it's very unlikely that anyone's making that shot. If I miss the second free throw, which they did on purpose, and the Knicks basically said it because Jalen was looking back at Thibodeau and his dad saying, hey, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to miss it? I understand you're trying to kill the clock, but you're also putting yourself in a spot where if there is a miracle shot that gets off, you can lose.
Yeah, but
if you make the free throw, you cannot lose.
But I get
in regulation.
But I get why you miss it too, because with the way that he missed it, you knew that the buzzer was going to sound. Right? There was no chance for them to really get a shot. I mean,
okay,
it would have to be miraculous.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Like, rebound, uncontested, full court heave. That's the only way. And that's not happening.
Well, but it could have happened because let's walk back to what actually occurred. So Jalen Brunson misses the second free throw. They back off. And I get it. They don't want to commit a foul because they're over the limit. If you commit a foul, now all of a sudden, two-point game, they can tie the game. So you're letting the Pistons grab the rebound. The rule is that clock will not start until someone touches the basketball.
Yes.
So it's not like it hitting the rim is going to cause the clock to hit zero, which is what caused this whole issue.
Yes.
The Knicks were not defending. So Detroit, if the clock is operated correctly, they will grab the rebound without an issue and can quickly heave it up. They will get a shot off.
Yeah, but
so I disagree with that. I was having a fight with a friend of mine.
It's the whole court.
Like, yes,
it's the whole court, though. I mean, half court, maybe. A whole court shot is so unlikely.
Tiki, it's all unlikely.
Yes.
What I'm saying is if I miss the second free throw, there is a scenario, as unlikely as it is, where I lose.
Mm-hmm.
If I make the free throw, I'm still asking them to do something unlikely because they've got it inbounds underneath their own basket.
I agree. Right? Ultimately, you're right, because either way, they're having to make a miraculous three to either win or to tie. And you'd better off protecting yourself so that at least it's a tie. That's what you're saying.
That's all I'm saying. Now,
right.
Here's where the league screwed up in such a way where one fan base was going to be mad and the league needed to get lucky, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
Once they screw up, and it's not a home clock, this is not the Pistons starting the clock, this is a league kind of clock worth, if you will. It's the league doing this. They messed up. It happens. I'm not going to kill them for it because I am going to kill them for
it. Well, in the postseason.
Human error.
Right. It's the league. It's always on the league.
It's the league. They start the clock prematurely. The clock should not start till someone grabs a rebound. Once they do that, and now we have a mess, there's no good answer to making this fair. Because what they gave Detroit was unfair to the Knicks.
Yes.
If they made a full court or half court shot, you guys would have had every right to scream and yell and say that was a disgrace. But I was talking to a friend of mine because he was pissed about it as this was happening. And I said, can I ask you a dumb question? He said, what? I said, okay, if you don't like this idea, and I agree, it's not ideal, what would you do? How do you fix this? And he said, well, I'd call a jump ball. Mm. I'm like, well, that's not fair to the Pistons either.
Yeah.
They were getting the rebound. This scenario painted a spot where whatever they did was going to be blatantly unfair to somebody.
And it's not
all defined. Because they screwed up.
And this isn't defined in the rule book. That's the biggest issue. It's like, if this should happen, how do you fix it? Right? How do you make it right for both sides? And it's not defined.
Or
not
There's
even
no
right,
way.
Not even right for both sides, but just make it right to the rule book. And that's the problem. There isn't a rule about this.
I had one other idea. Hear me out on this, on how to make it fair, right? Because we all agree that what Detroit ended up getting as a side out wasn't fair. Mm-hmm. And calling it a jump ball wouldn't be fair. Saying the game is over isn't fair. How about telling Jalen go back to that free throw?
Do it again.
And go do it again. You're intending to miss anyway.
That's actually the smart way to do it.
Do-over.
Is there any other... I mean, I'm trying to think. In any sport, is there a do-over?
Well, if there was a lane violation committed by the non-shooting team, you would have gotten the free throw again, right? So yeah, it's almost lane violation.
But that's fault on one side's on half. You know what I mean? That's fault on the non-shooting team.
You're right, but
I'm talking about a no-fault do-over.
A no-fault do-over.
So, in any sport, is that happen?
In football, there's a false start, so they should have had Jalen go behind the three-point line to shoot a free throw. You lost 5 yards.
You blew 5 yards.
Redo.
The only thing I could think of that's like a redo is in the NBA, and this happens once in a while, when there's an out-of-bounds play and the officials are like, we really don't know, they'll call a jump ball.
Mm.
That happens.
Right.
Now, does it happen very often? Not really, but they will call a jump ball on an out-of-bounds play that they're not sure of. But here's the real test on if my do-over idea would have worked. Tommy, you felt aggrieved by the decision that they made, right?
Aggrieved?
You thought it was unfair to the Knicks that
Yeah, no, that the Pistons got the ball, you're saying?
Yes, with a side out.
No, I actually don't. I think that was the right thing. They grabbed the rebound. The officials screwed up, but within the context of the play, the Pistons grabbed the rebound, which is what the Knicks wanted them to do.
But I think the problem is it moves it to half court. And so,
well, it wasn't half court, but it wasn't underneath the basket.
Yeah, it was like three-quarter court.
Right, three-quarter court.
They still benefited from it, though. Like, think about it. The Pistons had a better shot, even though it backfired, because Jalen Duren basically looked like Zach Wilson or Daniel Jones trying to throw a
exactly,
pass.
Exactly, air-mailed it.
So it all worked out. Like, oh, great, no problem. But the Pistons were given an edge by that call.
Right.
And I think that you saying you're not aggrieved is very nice of you.
Right.
But if, God forbid, a shot went down, you'd be aggrieved.
Of course. Right. No, based on the way it went, I was just annoyed that it got dragged out for an hour and a half, too. I mean, now, let me throw something out there, too, that you could poke holes in. Why not hit the free throw, go up three, and then just foul immediately, and then they hit a couple of free throws? Even if they try to hit the first free throw,
that's the other way.
On purpose, the clock's going to expire.
That's the other philosophy.
That's what I would have done. So I was more mad at the strategy, to be honest with you, and it almost burned them.
So the negative to let them
inbound. So make the free throw.
Correct.
So they're up three.
Right.
Let them inbound.
Foul immediately.
And then foul immediately.
Exactly.
So there's a major risk with that. And that is whoever is getting that ball is going to turn and shoot immediately.
I don't think they're going to call that, though. Jalen did the same thing where he chucked it down the floor. They fouled him. They didn't give him three shots. I know it was like a heave. It wasn't really a shot. I would be floored if they called that a shot in that spot.
But you're still risking that possibility.
Fair, but they risked this. I know this was a less of a risk because they didn't think the officials would screw it up.
Right.
But
no, I get you. I think there are three ways you can go. Your idea is totally fine. The Knicks' idea that they tried is fine. My idea is just make the free throws. If they make a half full court shot or whatever, okay, it goes to overtime. But once you miss that free throw, you're putting yourself in a spot where, God forbid it's a disaster, you actually lose. But either way, the NBA got away with it. Okay, they survived it. And the Knicks are up 2-1. And I stand firm that on Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden, with me and Tiki in the building, the New York Knicks will close out the Pistons in five. Are you accepting my invitation, Tiki, or no?
I don't know yet.
He doesn't know yet.
I'm looking at Loogie.
he's going to invite everybody that he knows and anybody he sees walking the streets before he's invited.
I love
me.
Loogie. I don't want to send him off with a bad weekend thought. About
honestly,
you,
Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy, I'm gonna be blunt with you. If the series is tied at two, it's 2-2 on Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden. As long as you agree to one rule that I have, I will take you if it's 2-2. Do you know what that rule is?
I don't.
Don't check the Mets score and don't tell me about it.
So we're doing the Jimmy Fallon fever pitch stuff. La, 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 la. That's fair. That's fair.
That's fair.
For a playoff game, that's fair. I think it's ridiculous and absurd, but I think it's fair.
If it's 3-1 Knicks, I don't think I want you to go. Mm. I don't think I want to go.
Well, hold on a second. I already agreed that I would have went if the Knicks were down 3-1. You can't be a man and return the favor?
No, I'm clearly not a man, Tommy.
You're the worst.
Me and Tommy will go. You don't have to use your tickets.
By the way, because these, and I wanted you to ask your buddy Patrick this, who's a big Pistons fan. Yeah. How about the Piston fan leaving early last night?
Wow.
They want to act like tough guys and say F Jalen Brunson. Half of them left for the exits. The game was still, if the Pistons would have hit that shot, they would have won the game miraculously. Half of them were home.
I'm only going to defend them in this regard. Like, it is very common. I always think back to the Miami-San Antonio NBA Finals, the Ray Allen game.
That was epic.
Where everybody left. Yeah. And people leave the Garden, too. So I don't think that's, like, exclusive to Detroit. I think the real criticism or the real question one should ask about the Piston fan was, did you guys really need to go vulgar at Jalen Brunson? Like, the entire night, and it wasn't bleeped out on TNT or MSG, whatever broadcast you watched, the entire night, you're hearing the chant, bleep you, Brunson.
Right. Where does that come from? They didn't explain it, really, but why do they hate Jalen Brunson?
So, I can't answer it other than my speculation, and I know this is going to hurt some people's ears around here. You're not going to want to hear it. You're going to think I'm a hater. And I'm not being a hater. I'm describing it to you. Jalen Brunson is gaining a reputation around NBA circles as a flopper, as a foul merchant, and as someone who kind of reminds you of James Harden about 5 years ago, where it's all about flopping and begging for calls. And I think that whether you guys agree with it or not, obviously he's on your team. You love him and you should love him. He is the king of New York, undisputedly. I think that fans around the league are now turning on Jalen Brunson. They don't like him, and they don't like him for that reason.
Yeah, I think that's that, and I think they were also trying to create like a home court advantage, get in his head. Remember the game before where Dennis Schroeder like stood over him? I think they're trying to get in his head, and I think you know, Evan's right. That's the knock around him, that he's a foul merchant and that he flops. So they were trying to create an environment. By the way,
He does all of that, and my counter, my defense of Jalen would be, it's the NBA. A lot of guys do that, and you do what it takes to win. You do what it takes to help your team win, and if flopping or pulling the Trae Young, let me stick my ass out to get to the free throw line, if that's going to get you 6-7 extra points a game, God bless you.
And by the way, that takes time to earn, the ability to be able to do that as a strategy. You can't just do it when you come in the league. It takes some time and respect to be able to earn that from the officials, and so... You give him credit because it works. I mean, he took 13 free throws last night and made 11 of them. Really, the whole team shot well from the free throw line. I think they were almost 90%. So, like, you give him credit, but is that really a reason to throw the F-bomb in a crowded arena?
And Breen brought it up.
It doesn't make, I mean, honestly, it makes no sense.
It
makes no sense.
Kids might have been saying it, too.
Tiki? I mean, why did Nick fans chant F. Trae Young?
Because Trae is a punk.
Oh my God! It's the same thing.
He specifically comes into your court and tries to embarrass you. And when he mocks you. Like, he mocks your arena. Like, players.
My
like,
argument is this started before but, that. But so I think it was Jalen chicken egg with Trae Young. They started chanting. Altuve, I wouldn't include. He's accused of cheating in the Astros. I think that's different. I think there's reasons why that happens, right or wrong. With Trae Young, I'll never forget it because I was there. I went to those playoff games in 21. The Nick fan made him the enemy before anything happened. They started chanting F. Trae Young, and then Trae Young leaned into it by saying, okay, if I'm going to be the Reggie Miller villain, I'll do it. And then he's done those other things. So Nick fans did it. And if you gave the Nick fan truth serum, okay, well, why'd you do it? What caused you to do that? I would think it's two reasons. One is stupid. The other makes a lot of sense.
Go ahead.
Number one, foul merchant. Same thing I said about Jalen. Trae Young is an absolute foul merchant that drives people nuts.
It's just not something I would boo somebody over.
You're classier than most basketball fans.
It just doesn't make any sense.
But the other reason?
It's a strategy that even LeBron has used. I don't even know, but I didn't. Michael Jordan probably did the same thing.
Not to this level, but I understand. Michael didn't need to because he had the respect of everybody.
Scotty
anyway.
Did it for him.
The other thing, this is a weird one, that I think Trae Young, the reason Trae Young got the F. Trae Young chance is because people wanted to make fun of him for his thinning hair. And I think that caused a lot of, really, we're going to let this guy with thinning hair come into Madison Square Garden and do damage? Yeah, I have that theory. It's like Sean's theory about fat people. Very similar.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you buy that, Sean, as someone who believes that happens to fat people?
Yeah, I guess because I'm bald, I've always focused on the fat thing. I never thought of the hair thinning point with that. But yeah, I think you're onto something.
F. more rash.
He's fat!
F. more rash.
Tiki, get off Reddit.
The other parallel, too, is that Knick fans, number one, we were all pent up. We were coming off COVID there. That was 2021. They hadn't been in the playoffs in a while. Same thing with the Pistons here. I think the fans are feeling themselves.
Right, and they got their ass beat.
Correct. They want to pick a villain. We picked Trae Young, like Evan said. We anointed him a villain before he really did anything. And they want to anoint JB the villain based on what they see on social media. And they watch the guy once per season.
but he is a foul merchant, and that's okay.
I'm not going to argue that one with you. How about that?
Thank you.
You could play within the confines of the rules. If they're going to call it, I'm cool with that. Reggie Miller did it for years. Scotty did it. Vladdy did it. I don't have an issue with that. If it gets to the line, great.
That's why I say it, and no one should be defensive about it. Own what you have. Own the best player that you have. I have great respect for Jalen Brunson.
Well, he's say foul merchant. You could say KG. You could say, like, that's smart. When you say foul merchant, it's like, and especially you, the leader of the coalition and Nick Haters, that's
difference.
Why people take it, like, offense to that.
But here's the thing. I call Trae Young a foul merchant. I call Jalen Brunson a foul merchant. I call James Harden a foul merchant. I'm a straight line. You decide based on if you like the player or not. Did you say Trae Young was KG, or did you say he's a foul merchant?
No, of course not.
Okay.
But I could understand where a Hawk fan would not want to hear a Knick fan saying that about their player. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm going to warn you about this. You may want to set the clock at 30 seconds. You want to set the clock at 30 seconds?
I got it.
I would not be surprised if Trae Young is being KG in Brooklyn next year. I'll leave it at that. I didn't even need 30 seconds. No. I got it in and out.
That was like 7.5.
That's what she said.
The hapless Nets.
We'll come back with your phone calls, New York Giant reaction, New York Jet reaction. The New York Knicks are up 2-1, and we'll mix in some baseball and get you set for a busy night in sports tonight. Obviously, rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. And, of course, the New York Yankees are out at the stadium tonight on a gorgeous, gorgeous night against the Blue Jays, and the Mets are down in D.C. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. 888-what's the number again? 888-808-1019. Evan yes. Tiki. Yeah, I got it. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Get to the baseball coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. A gorgeous night if you're headed to Yankee Stadium for the Yankees and the Blue Jays opening up a 3-game series. Blue Jays have been struggling lately, so Yankees with a chance to put some air between them and the American League East. Mets are down in D.C. against the Nationals. So we'll get to the baseball a little bit later on. But before we get back to your calls on the draft and the Knicks, I just sent you an image, Tiki. I want you to look at it in the Evan and Tiki text chat that we have. This is supplied by a big fan of the show. You may have heard of him. His name is Dennis. Dennis from Germany.
Yep.
Are you aware of Dennis from Germany?
I am not.
Dennis is a big fan of the show. He also happens to play NBA basketball for the Detroit Pistons. He goes by Dennis Schroeder. And once a net, always a net. Dennis has supplied video proof that Jalen Brunson had full possession of the basketball in the front court before he then went into the backcourt.
I don't care.
And that they should have called a backcourt
violation. I don't care. I'm just telling you what they explained after the game.
No, but even their explanation, this proves that he did have full possession in the front court before going into the backcourt. So it is a backcourt violation, according to the video evidence from a loyal listener, Dennis in Germany.
Well, thank you, Dennis. I appreciate it. Doesn't matter.
No, the game's over. There's nothing you can do about it. The only thing that could happen is J.B. Bickerstaff can whine and cry like Thibodeau and hope that maybe he'll get an extra call.
How often is that going to happen?
Very rarely. No, you're right. It's a kind of a flukish kind of play. And even if they call it, we don't know the Pistons go out and win.
Right.
We have no idea what ends up happening. Let's get back to your phone calls. Let us say good afternoon to Mike in Flatbush. How are you today on this fine Friday, Mike?
I'm doing good, Evan. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for
What's up, dude?
I'm with you, Evan. I really like Shador, and it's crazy because the NFL mock draft, NFL.com mock draft, has him not even going in the second round. So
wow.
If that's the case, I like the chip on the shoulder. I like the pedigree. I think since he's been a little boy, you know, his dad's been in his ear, and I don't understand the idea that he doesn't love the game just because he's iced out or he's got swag or whatever. I mean, I don't know what nobody knows other than the coaches and the GMs and whoever, whatever staff was around, what those interviews were like. But you get to this level, you love the game. And I just think
I don't know, Mike. I don't know, Mike. There's a lot
of
guys.
I take your word for it, but I also like the idea that Aaron Rodgers would know that it wasn't about a quarterback with a big character, you know, with a big personality. It's just crazy to me that he's projected to even drop to the third round.
No,
and they have Milroe and Shuck, old man Shuck, going before him.
Mike, I agree with you. I mean, Gabe called earlier because he wanted to give me an L because I basically said there's no way Shador is falling out of the first round. So the fact that he's still available, even though the second round hasn't started yet, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Going into the second round, I'm shocked by that because I don't care if he has a big attitude. You need that sometimes. Sometimes the best leaders have big personalities that way. But the fact that he fell, I don't know why. I mean, I'm speculating that it could be because of those things, but I'm also speculating that he just didn't present well, and GMs and head coaches and owners, they look at the quarterback as the face.
If you are Tiki Barber, the New York Jets, if you're Darren Mugi and you're Aaron Glenn, and you know what you have in your quarterback room, you brought in Justin Fields, basically on a short-term deal, let's see what he's got.
Yep.
You got the solid veteran in Tyrod Taylor, you've got the lottery ticket in Jordan Travis, who knows? Mm. Who knows where he is health-wise? And you are sitting there, and Shador's fall continues. Don't you have to take him here in the second round?
Yeah, because he's going to, at some point, he is going to be the best player available. Even if you have some doubts about whatever the issue may be. It's not injury. Maybe it's, you know, his commitment to being great. But I doubt that because he's a Sanders. It's Deion Sanders' kid. Of course he's going to want to be great at what he does and follow his own route. So, yes, the answer, short answer, absolutely. He's got to get taken sooner rather than later.
Diego is calling from East Meadow. How are you doing today, Diego?
I was a lot better than the first hour, Evan, but, you know, welcome back. It's all good.
What's up?
Nice troll. I love it, Diego.
Yeah. No, obviously, I think, you know, like you guys were saying before, like we, as Giants fans, I guess that actually felt like a victory. But regardless of what they did yesterday, I think, you know, one of the things Joe Shane said early on was he wasn't going to mortgage the future to save his job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give him some props for that, because he could have very easily sold his soul to move up and, you know, do something splashy that the owner would have liked. But I think he did two things. For the next regime, he left their picks intact. Like,
right.
They'll still have their opportunity to do whatever they need to do in the draft.
Yeah.
But he's also taking a shot at him, you know, a shot with him and Dable and putting all the chips on the table.
Right.
As to keeping their job if things go the right way, and let the next regime, you know, have their draft picks if they move on.
Yeah.
Plus the added.
You're already firing
factor.
Them. Diego, you're already firing them? Why are you firing them already?
We've seen. I mean, come on, man. Like we know what they are. But the other thing that I'm surprised Sean hasn't jumped on yet, if Jackson Dart doesn't work out, think about all the content he's going to have with Jackson fart jokes going forward.
I already started last night.
What was your first Jackson fart joke that you had, Sean?
So I discovered that Jackson Dart and I share a birthday. So I
really?
Said, wow, May 13th, Jackson Dart's birthday. I guess that makes me Jackson Fart. You get it? Two Jackson Arts born on the same day. I'll work on that, though. I got more to do.
Yeah, that one rings a little bit soft.
Here is the real question I've been waiting all day to ask you guys this, because we love to make predictions around here. And by the way, in terms of our draft predictions, on Monday, we will go back and take a listen to the evolution of all of our predictions on what the Giants and Jets would do on Monday. But I ask you this the day after Jackson Dart was drafted by the New York Football Giants. And this is a long-term bet. It may be a longer-term bet than we even realize. When will Jackson Dart, not play in a game, start his first game as the quarterback of the New York Football Giants?
Week 12.
We don't have the schedule yet.
I got
obviously,
it.
We got
I know
that
already.
Real...
I know
you already,
already
know?
Yep, I know.
He already knows.
Yep, week 12.
This season.
This season.
Week 12. Hold on a second. I'm going to write this down.
It just sounds nice and round to me.
Does it?
Nice.
All right.
Week 12.
Week 12. Tommy Lugauer, when does Jackson Dart start his first game at quarterback for the New York Football Giants?
Week 8.
Wow.
That's eight. That's early. But can I ask you a further question about both of your predictions?
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm on, and you said this too, Teak, I think we're kind of firmly together on, I'm going to start the guy who gives me the best chance to win until we're out of it.
Right.
And when we're out of it, yeah, let me see what we got. So by week 12, are you suggesting that the Giants will be out of it and that's why they're making the decision? Or is there another reason that leads to
Dart? It's part out of it, but it's also, Russell Wilson's not doing anything for you. And unless you are heading deep into the postseason, what's the point? And so I think that Jackson Dart needs experience if the Giants, and we just went through their schedule in the first hour,
mm-hmm.
because it's, I mean, it's just rough, dude. The NFC East is going to be rough. They're playing the NFC North, which is rough. They're playing the AFC West, which is rough. And so, I mean, they got basically all the playoff teams from last year that they're on their schedule this year. And so at some point, you're just going to have to say, let's get Jackson Dart some experience.
And why are you saying week 8, Tommy?
Partially because of what Tiki just said, and also I think it's a better sell to the fans and John Mara that Jackson Dart is great. I mean, Kirk Cousins got benched and the Falcons were fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
I think that lure of we have the next great quarterback for the next 10 years is a better selling point to keep your job and to get the fan base excited.
There's so many different examples of it. So you bring up the Kirk Cousins thing. Kirk Cousins was terrible. Like, it was almost like Russell Wilson would have to be that bad.
Yeah.
Well, we're all sitting here saying, the Giants are in it, but boy, this quarterback's a freaking problem.
Right.
Let's see the kit.
In fairness, he did say he was hurt. So, whatever.
All right. Maybe it was. I mean, look, everybody's hurt. We all play hurt. I'm banged
especially
up right now.
Especially when you're mid to late 30s, and you get hit a couple of times, you're hurt.
You're right.
It just is what it is.
All right, so Tiki's got week 12 for Jackson Dart's first Giants start. Tommy's got week 8. Sean Morash.
Jackson Dart will make his first start in week 18 as the Giants rest their starters ahead of their wild card playoff game.
He's so funny.
That's a nice one.
It's a nice one because
it parallels Pat Mahomes.
I have the exact same prediction, but not for the exact same reason.
Okay.
I think Jackson Dart's. I this sucks because I don't want to agree with you, but I already had it written down. Week 18. But it's not going to be because they've made the playoffs and they're resting their starters. I think it's going to be, hey, let's see what we got. Mm. Russ, you had a fine season, and I think he will. I think he'll have an average to good season. Doesn't mean you won't be critical of him or Giant fans won't be critical of him, but I think all year long he'll give them the best chance to win, blah, 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 blah. And I think at the end of the season, with it clearly being over, I think that there will be a, hey, let's just see what we got with the kid. So I'm with Sean. I think it's going to be week 18. I was even thinking of saying Tiki doesn't play at all this season.
Yeah, I think he will. Just because. It's just one of those things. We want to see him as Giant fans. By the way, Evan, this is from the crew chief, Zach Zarba, last night, Knicks Pistons.
Yes.
Rule 4, Section 6G. The front court, back court status is not obtained, I'm reading this verbatim, until a player with the ball has established a positive position in either half, in this instance, during the throw-in in the last 2 minutes of the fourth period and the last 2 minutes in any overtime period. So, obviously, that is where we were at that point. Brunson and the trajectory of the pass were headed towards the backcourt. Brunson's momentum was taking him there when he touches the ball. Due to that momentum, he's not considered in a positive position at the time. That's why the play is legal.
So the way that is said, like the momentum of the pass is taking him back to the backcourt,
yes.
I will completely buy. But he had possession of the basketball in the front court. And that's what that picture.
Right. No, I agree.
If the rule is, hey, the momentum's taking him there, so it's okay, no backcourt violation, fine, I agree with that. But if it's just a firm, strict, hey, he had possession,
right,
then it's a backcourt violation.
Right.
Either way, the Knicks are up 2-1.
Yeah, but your picture wouldn't hold up in court because you can't tell momentum based on a still shot.
First of all, it is not my picture. It is the picture of a loyal listener, Dennis from Germany.
It's Dennis Schroeder who plays for the Pistons and used to play for the Nets. It's not Dennis from Germany.
It's DS17FG, and it's verified.
If Dennis called up our radio show,
he would be
Dennis in Germany. So why is he not Dennis in Germany?
I know, but you're positioning it as if it's just a random... It's a person on the Pistons who has a bias, and he sent the still shot, which doesn't prove momentum.
No. Right. Dennis is one of the most unbiased humans I've ever met. He calls it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you the deal.
Make a shot, Shooter.
Speaking of unbiased, one of the most unbiased callers to WFN, we had a chance to meet him yesterday at American Dream, is Ozzie in Woodridge. Ozzie, it was great to see you yesterday.
No, it wasn't.
Hey, Tiki, my troll game is tight, baby.
It is. I'm still bitter at you.
For those that missed it, Ozzie wore a Dallas Cowboys Joe Milton t-shirt to troll Tiki, who's a big Joe Milton guy, and of course was traded to the Cowboys.
My first shot of Ozzie was his ass. Actually, it was his back, but I then looked at his ass and I wanted to kick it. for wearing that stupid fake t-shirt jersey that you had on. Of my guy. That's my guy, Ozzy.
It's his guy.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. He's your guy.
You got dark, baby. You're cooking with grease, man. Take a shot at the Ole Miss kid. It worked out the first time you did it. So let's see if you can have some Ole Miss magic, you know?
You never know, man. I don't believe in those type of things, but hey, you never know.
You never know.
No, I don't either. But Evan... you better be careful with those fat darts that you're throwing at my man, Sean. Seeing you again in person yesterday, that's like the pot calling the kettle black, dude.
I saw a belly. Slow down. I am getting plumper. I'm trying to reverse that by eating better. I'm really working hard. But in fairness, let's just do a very quick official weigh-in. Sean Morash, how much do you weigh, out of curiosity?
I am down to 244, Evan.
And how tall are you again?
5'10¾".
Okay, I want to be fair. He is an inch and a quarter taller than me. I'm only 5'9". I weighed myself earlier today. Coincidentally, I had a doctor's appointment in the morning, well before Tiki sent me to detention.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at 182.
He's fat!
I mean, 182, I don't want to be at 182, Oz, but I still am. I'm ahead of Sean by like a lot.
62 pounds.
That's a big difference, right, Tiki?
Humongous difference.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think weight distribution matters here. Evan's weight, whatever he does gain, seems to only be in his belly. I'm more spread out and diverse, I think.
Sean, yesterday.
Sean in embraces it. Evan, you're still in, not a river in Egypt. You're in denial, brother.
All right, fine, whatever. What you got?
You, yeah, Sean, kudos to you on this note for manning up, squeezing into that gold spandex yesterday. You're golden in my book, bro. Good job.
Yeah, that earned you some major cred, Sean.
That was a great job, Sean. Excellent work.
Thank you.
Well, he manned up. He did what he had to do for the show, so good on him. Not the outfit, but, you know, his character.
Right. Yes.
But I got another spin on this Shador thing. Forget about him not being drafted and being a first rounder and being able to say that forever and his resentment towards it. And by the way, whatever team drafts him, that team skipped over him, so he still might have resentment towards that team. But Deion has resentment and is very PO'd right now because he actually didn't get drafted as a first rounder last night, too.
What do you mean? What is he going to do about it? If he's pissed off, and I'm sure he is, that his son didn't get drafted.
What's Deion going to do about it?
Yeah.
He's all over this interview, that interview, this social media, in the camera. If he wants to make an organization's life miserable, for example, if the Cleveland Browns draft Shador in the second round, he's going to be like, well, pretend like you're in the playground and you're picking teams for football. You didn't pick his son, his project, since he was little, in the first round.
I get it, and it was good seeing you yesterday, Oz. I get it, but like he got picked, and everyone passed on him. Mm-hmm. So no matter who takes him, I guess to your point, he's going to be in that position. But like, what's Deion going to do? Is he going to be pissed off at the team that finally picked his son? You'd almost want to send him a thank you letter and say thank you for finally ending this embarrassment. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever met Deion? You ever see his bravado and his ego and his narcissism?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of resent there, man.
No, I mean, you're not wrong, Ozzy. I hope that he handles it better than we're expecting. Because everybody's expecting him to do what he's doing now, and that is sounding off on the fact that his son didn't get drafted.
Right.
But he's also got to realize you can't fight all your son's battles, man. Like, you can't pick him up from every fall. You got to let him handle it himself. And so, I mean, it's a real important moment, I think, in Shador's, like, real life. Forget his football life, but his real life on how to deal with something that doesn't go his way. Because I have a feeling that everything kind of went his way in his life, whether it was, you know, high school, whatever. He kind of always got what he needed. And right now, that's not happening. So how do you respond is the most important thing.
But to his point, to Ozzy's point, because I as a Jet fan am saying, hey, if he's sitting there with my second round pick, I'd even trade up for him. Mm-hmm. I would consider that, especially jumping Cleveland and the 2 second round picks that they have. Obviously, you can't jump the first one, but you can jump the second one. I'd want Shador Sanders. Are you telling me as a Jet fan I should be worried about what Ozzy laid out, that you're going to get a very bitter Shador Sanders and even Deion bitching about the fact that you passed on him too?
Honestly, I don't care about Shador's, you know, attitude towards it. In fact, I probably want him pissed off. Like, be upset about it.
Yeah.
Chip on your shoulder. It lasts. But Deion talking about it now creates unnecessary media, local and national attention on your organization that's just going to be constantly asked about. And honestly, that's not worth it. So if Deion really wants to help, just let your kid fight his own battle right now. That's literally all it comes down to.
And I think he will. And that's why
I hope he does.
I'm not afraid. Sean's got his Cinco coming up.